We're continuing on with our series called Breaking New Ground that's been coinciding with our pledging campaign for this new building that we're hoping to break new ground on, this Children and Youth Center. By the way, we started last week. We had our Commitment Sunday. Thank you so much for those of you who already had a chance to commit. We're doing a fantastic job. We're well over $1 million. We're over 20% of the way to our goal, and we've heard from just about 20% of our folks. And so we're right on track. And so if you haven't had a chance yet to commit, we really do need to hear from everyone. We have some pledge cards in the back in your bulletin as well. There's a little QR code, and there's ways to get on the website and make pledges there. And so please join us in these efforts as we look to break new ground. One of the interesting things I think about the stories that we've been hearing is as we think about God calling people to break new ground for Him, is that it's very individual, right? God goes to he goes to communities, sure, but He starts with individuals. He starts with individuals, and He gives them this conviction that things are not as they should be, and that God calls them forward. And I think that's so important for us to hear, is that when we talk about breaking new ground, it's not just about buildings, it's not just about new programs, it's about us. We have a God who wants to break new ground in us. God wants to break new ground in us. And that's what we're going to look at today. Our text comes from Acts chapter 2. This is the story of the day of Pentecost. Peter and the disciples are filled with the Spirit. They go out. They're proclaiming the good news of Jesus' death and His resurrection. They're talking mostly to Jews because they're there for the Feast of Pentecost. And so a lot of explanation about how Jesus fits into this understanding of the Hebrew people, of the Jewish people, of how Jesus is the Messiah for them. The verse right before our text is this verse. I want to put it on the screen. And this is what Peter says to them. He says, "Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Him, Jesus, both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." And it's from this proclamation that this firestorm takes over, and we see really the birth of the church. And so what I want to do is read for us, starting at the next verse, which is verse 37 through verse 41, as we hear God's word to us, as we think about God breaking new ground in these people's lives. Good news to you and me. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added." Amen. So there's this Twitter account that I follow that is super funny. It's called Work Fails. And the tagline of Work Fails is, "Health and safety are not everyone's priority." And what it does is, I don't know why this is funny, but it's people at work or doing work projects at home who are sort of cutting corners, you know what I'm saying? And they're doing things that you know is not going to go well for them or for anybody else for that matter. Let me just show you a few examples, some of my favorites. Yeah, that's not going to go well for anybody in that picture. Maybe the next one. This is a good one. You know, maybe duct tape would have worked better, but, you know, that's fair. Next one, who hasn't done this? Right? We've all been there, painted ourselves into a corner. Or maybe this one, another work fail. Quite sure he does not want to be there. We can all relate, can we not? We've all painted ourselves into a corner. We've all done things that we thought we were trying to do a good job. Maybe we've cut corners, and we come to find out that this is not going to go well for us, and it's not going to go well for other people. Or we find ourselves knee-deep or head-deep into things that we didn't think we were ever going to be in, and we don't know what to do. What happens when you find yourself in a place that you don't know what to do, how you can't get out of it. What happens when you have a work fail or a life fail? How do you get out of it? Our text today, these people that we're hearing from in Acts, I think they're experiencing this, except they're experiencing it on a cosmic level. Think about where we heard. Let's back up here. We heard from Peter. It's the day of Pentecost. Penta means 50 in Greek, and that's the number for 50 days. It's 50 days after Passover. That's when the festival of Pentecost was. And so Peter and the disciples have been filled with the Spirit. They go out. They're talking about this Jesus who was crucified when? 50 days ago. He's telling the people about this one who was crucified and now raised to life. Now we ask ourselves, do these people care? Do they even know who this Jesus is? Well, yes, they do, right? Jesus was an itinerant preacher. Maybe he made his way around to them. But probably they knew him. Do you know why? Because they were probably there 50 days ago in that feast of Passover. There are three Jewish feasts in Jesus' day, in Peter's day, that were mandatory for people of the Jewish faith to come and celebrate in the temple and in Jerusalem. Passover, Pentecost, and Sukkot, which is the feast of the booths, okay? And it wasn't until the temple was destroyed in AD 70 that those feasts were not so mandatory anymore because there was no temple for them to go to. But up until that time, it was mandatory for them to go. If they were going to be faithful in their faith, they had to go. And so chances are, when Peter is talking to these people about Jesus Christ who was crucified, those same folks, or many of them, were there 50 days ago. They have heard of Jesus. In fact, because of their response, you get this idea that many of them were maybe even there in the crowd, right? When Jesus is being crucified, they're the ones who are part of the crowd who's shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." So you can imagine what that was like for them, right? Here they are, coming, and Peter is talking to them about this Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is raised from the dead, and he comes to the apex of his conversation with them, telling them, this is the one not only who is the Lord and the Savior, but is the one whom you crucified. And they come to this experience that they know that they are ones who are culpable for his death, and not just anyone's death, but for the Son of God's death himself. The very first verse that we looked at, that we heard in our text, was verse 37, and it says, when they heard this, and I think, of course, that was everything they'd heard from Peter, but I think it especially was that last phrase. What does it say? They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the apostles, brothers, what should we do? What do you do when you have backed yourself into a corner? What do you do when you think that maybe you can get there and all of a sudden everything is crumbling around you and you find out it has not just hurt you, but it's hurt other people around you? What do you do when it feels like there is nothing else you can do? Friends, here's the thing about that. And I suppose this is good news, even though it's bad news. That's a universal experience. This is not just something for these people long ago on Pentecost who were there when Jesus Christ was literally crucified. That happens to you and me, does it not? I have not met very many people who are so narcissistic to believe that they have not somehow in their life wounded and hurt other people. Right? We all know it's true. It could be someone this morning that we've hurt, but it could be someone that we hurt long ago, that now it is a place of shame for us. It's a place that we don't even know how to get around it for ourselves, right? We all know what it's like to hurt people that we love, or maybe we even don't love, and yet we come to ourselves to a place of guilt and shame for what we've done. We also know what it's like for other people to do things to us, right? People who do things to us that make us feel like then we are not worthy, or that we somehow are flawed, that we can never be found good in other people's eyes. There's been so much in the media right now about all the abuse and the harassment, the sexual harassment and things, that women standing up and telling their stories, right? And one of the amazing things about that is this power that comes when people tell their stories, right? And we've heard some of these stories where folks have gone their entire life feeling like they were just gross, or that they were wounded, or they were broken because of what someone else has done to them. And they sit under the weight of that, and they don't know what to do. There are times when we have done things to others, and we don't know what to do. There are times when others have done things to us, and we don't know what to do. There are times that we sit, and we have backed ourselves into a corner, and we say, God, how do I get out of this? Brothers, what do we do? And friends, that's where the good news comes in. That's the good news of the gospel today for you and for me. It's because God, in his mercy, provides a way for us. Peter, on that Pentecost Sunday, provides two to-dos and two blessings. And really, I think they're linked up. And they give us such a great hope. And I want to talk about them for a second. The first to-do that Peter calls the folks to do is to repent. This word repent is such a beautiful word. It's the word metanoia. Metanoia in Greek. Meta means above, right? Or over, right? We talk about a meta-narrative, like a bigger narrative. And noia is the word for mind. So it's a greater mind. And basically what he's saying is we turn ourselves towards the mind of God. What it means to repent is we turn away from us looking down at our own filth, our own muck, the things we've done, and we turn ourselves up to the mind of God. That is what it means to repent. It doesn't mean just saying we're sorry. Has anybody ever been told they're sorry by someone and it just makes you madder because you know they're not really sorry? It's not that. It's this sense of understanding of who we are, and we turn ourselves up to the mind and to the heart of God. John Calvin puts it great. He says there's four parts of repentance. It is turning away from self and turning towards God. It's laying aside ourself and taking up the mind of God. It's turning away from self and turning towards God. It's laying down our old self and taking up the mind of God. That is what it means to repent. And that's what Paul offers them. So it's not tricky. It's nothing fancy. All we do, these disciples, all they do, these listeners, all we do when we back ourselves into a corner is we admit that we've done it, that we're in this place that we cannot control. Either things that we've done or things that we've left undone, things that we've done to ourselves, things that other people have left to us. We just turn it over to the living God. And what does God give us? The blessing, forgiveness. The word forgiveness in Greek is aphesis, which means to let go. Which means to let go. And that's what God does for us, right? When we turn ourselves over to him, when we turn over our burdens, the things that hold us back, the things we've done, the things we've let undone, the things that others have done to us, when we turn them over to him, he frees us from them. He lets us go. He releases us from them. What a beautiful gift. The next thing that Peter calls us to do, these new disciples, is to be baptized. And then he says, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? They were familiar with the baptism of John, baptism of repentance. Remember the story, though, in Scripture where Jesus comes to be baptized by John, and what does John say? I should not be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And what does Jesus say? No. I want to go all the way down into this humanity. In other words, Jesus was baptized to become one with us. And so when we're baptized, we become one with him. We're identifying ourselves with him. We're identifying ourselves with him. This is not just for us, it's for our children. Remember what Peter says, this is not just for you, but it's for your children and for those far away. This is a chance for us to identify, to do something active, to put ourselves in the midst of forgiveness. And when that happens, Peter says, we receive the Holy Spirit. We get this sense and this sign and this wonder that God is with us in the midst of it. That God is with us in the midst of it, and he frees us. He frees us from those things that burden us. What happens in the story? 3,000 people are so touched in their heart that they want to lay down their burdens. And they take up this gift. And that's the early church. That's the early church. So what do we do about that? Well, this morning I want us to do something a little weird and not very Presbyterian, so I'm warning you. And I'll tell you up front, you don't have to take part in this, though you have license to not do it. But what I want to do is I want to leave some time and space for us to let God do some work in us. Because here's the thing, here's my hunch, that there are things in our lives that we've done. If you are a human being, you have been like one of those work failures. You have backed yourself in a corner. You have cut corners and hurt yourself and others. You have done things, and while you might say the words to feel forgiven, to know that you are forgiven and at peace, maybe has eluded you, and maybe for a long, long time. Maybe there are things you have done. The opposite is also true. Maybe there are things people have done to you, and it has wounded you so severely that you feel like you cannot let go of them. Here's just a few of those questions. How have you hurt God? How have you hurt others? How have you hurt yourself? How have others hurt you? So I want to take a little bit of time. Kurt's going to come sing a song for us. And we're going to take a little time. And I want you to think about this and pray about this with God. What are those things? And then here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to come forward, if you want. And our pastors will be up front here. And you'll have a chance for them to just lay their hands on you and pray for you. As a chance for you, in some ways, like this baptism. But repent and be baptized. A chance to come forward, lay something down at God's feet, and be healed. This summer, I was in Scotland, and I was at this 12th century cathedral, and we had a service like this, a healing service. And there were some things I was dealing with God, or God was dealing with me, things I thought about myself, things I thought maybe God thought of me. And I've got to tell you, when I came down for that service, when I came down and laid that down, it was like God released it from me, and I literally haven't thought about it again. It was a chance of pure release, and that's what I want to offer you. There's no lightning bolts. It's not anything. You're not going to come and tell us whatever, and we're going to put it up on the screen. You don't have to say anything. Just your act of coming forward. If there's something in you that you want release from, something that you need to repent of, something that you need to be released from, something that you want to be let go, I invite you to think about that, pray about that. Feel free to come forward. We'll say a quick prayer for you, and then you can go back to your seat. If you don't want to, just pray for those around you, and we'll see how this goes. I'm going to say a quick prayer for us as we begin, and then again, whenever you desire, and if you desire, you're welcome to come forward, and then in a few minutes, we'll continue on. So let's hear God's word, this prayer. Loving God, you gather us here today, here where many of us have come before, seeking your healing, your strength, and your love. You know us, God. You understand who we are. You know what troubles us and puzzles us, what makes us smile and what makes us sad. You listen to our questions and our prayers. You know the people we love, God, and the people we struggle with. Sometimes we hurt others. Sometimes we hurt ourselves. So we bring our own hurt, asking for your healing. And we bring the hurt we've caused others, asking for your forgiveness. Listen to these words of Jesus, words that we can trust. Do not be afraid. I love you. Your sins are forgiven. I will be with you always. Write these words in our hearts, loving God. Let them take root in our living. Amen. I invite you, if you're compelled, to come forward.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I come to pray, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to pray, Lord, when I come to pray, and when I come to pray, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I come to pray, and when I come to pray, and when I come to pray, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. can have all this world, give me Jesus.
Lord, we are so grateful that the words of the scriptures that cut to the heart long ago continue to cut to our hearts today, and that that same spirit that moved continues to move in us. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you want to break new ground in us. And so, Lord, for all these things that that were spoken in our hearts, for those who came up, for those who remained, Lord, we know that there are things that work in us. And so we pray that you might heal us in body and mind and spirit and free us from all that harms us. And we claim those things in your Son's name today. Amen.